Helping organizations win one veteran at a time. This is the Greencastle Podcast. And now your host, Dan Roberts.
This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap.
There's a reason why.
A master of innovation.
The key to this growing is you.
Any rational person would give up.
I can't disagree with that.
Make sure that we're not prisoners of our own experiences.
You need a team of great people.
We'll not tolerate a loser.
What they need is a common vision.
Welcome back to another episode of the Greencastle Podcast. I am Dan Roberts, your host, and today we did things a little differently here in the studio. You may not even notice a difference, but we actually had an impromptu interview here in our studio here at the Greencastle headquarters. We had a guy named Pete Freudenberger here, who is a veteran, and he works for a foundation called the Cohen Foundation. And he'll tell you a little bit more about the Cohen Foundation and the services they provide, but I was very surprised at a lot of the services that they provide. They're specifically geared toward veterans and military members, but it's not just veterans and military members. It's also the military members' families, and even in some cases, it's outside of the military members' families. So it makes sense that he came to talk to Greencastle, because Greencastle is 100% veteran-owned and operated. So naturally, as he was here, I asked him if he'd be willing to do an impromptu interview just to give our listeners a background of the Cohen Foundation and the services they provide. These services range everywhere from PTSD-type therapy to helping veterans get into the VA or get their VA disabilities or whatever, but they also go to helping the veterans maybe upgrade a less than honorable discharge to an honorable discharge. Again, it's a wide range of services that they provide. And in some cases, they're extremely necessary and extremely hard to go about getting. So without further ado, this is my conversation with Pete Freudenberger. I'm so glad you're able to hear this. All right, folks, today we have a little something different, which is great. It's an impromptu interview. So we had a guy come to our office, do a little corporate meeting with us, and give a presentation. His name is Pete Freudenberger, and he is from the Cohen Veteran Network.
Correct.
And folks, from the start of Greencastle Podcast, the grassroots inception was just veterans helping veterans. We like to help veterans either find jobs or give them tips for interviews or resumes or just business principles in general. But again, our grassroots was veterans helping veterans. And I don't think anybody is doing it better right now than the Cohen Veteran Network. Pete's basically the lead for the outreach. Is it for this area or for the entire United States?
No, so our clinic actually covers the state of Pennsylvania. We do see individuals in other states, but my primary outreach focus is in Pennsylvania and Jersey.
Okay, that's awesome. That's really awesome, because we have a, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but we do have a large group of veterans right here in eastern Pennsylvania and Jersey, just with the joint base Dix and McGuire right there in Jersey. So why don't you, Pete, just tell us a little bit about what you do and what the foundation's all about.
So the foundation, I guess I can start with that. Mr. Cohen is a financial guy in New York. He has a son who served in Afghanistan as a Marine, who is now in the Marine Corps Reserves. And as he puts it, his son came home okay, but a lot of the families and friends that they had, they noticed that there were some gaps in services and really decided that they wanted to do something about that. So they decided to open these clinics that primarily provide mental health services to veterans and their family members, key piece being family members, which maybe we'll get into a little bit later. But my job primarily here at the clinic at Penn, so the goal is to have 25 of these clinics open by the end of 2020. So right now, my primary focus as outreach manager is to just kind of go out into the community, make sure that businesses like yourselves, like Greencastle, other service organizations, health organizations, universities, employers have the information about what we do, the no-cost services that we provide, because it's really important that people on the ground are almost kind of our disciples of kind of just telling people what we do, that it's a free, that it's a no-cost service, and that it covers the entire family unit. So I think that's really important. I really appreciate you having me today to kind of talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really unique piece. You talked earlier about Mr. Cohen, and I saw this quote by him in a little blue book that you have, just kind of as a marketing piece. But Mr. Cohen says, the wounds of war are serious. It's not easy to serve your country in combat overseas and then come back into society seamlessly, especially if you're suffering. These men and women have paid an incredible price, and it's important that this country pays back that debt. And I think that's really sums it up great. You guys started back in 2016, am I correct?
The clinic here locally in Philadelphia, on Penn's campus, started in 2016.
Okay, when did the whole foundation start? Do you know? Was that back even before then, or was this kind of a flagship?
So it was actually in 2013 is when they started the first clinic, which was at NYU Langone's Medical Center. And that was basically, at first, I think the way that I've heard the story is that was initially kind of, that was the first step, and was kind of his intention at first was just to have that first clinic. And as they saw they saw people benefiting from treatment there, they decided to really take this on and make it full scale.
Sure.
to make sure that everybody in the country had access to this.
Okay, awesome. So just as a story here, what are the services that the foundation actually provides?
So we provide short-term mental health treatment for conditions such as post-traumatic stress, anxiety, depression. When I spoke to you guys earlier today, I talked about the fact that we just actually did kind of an informational video for the clinic recently to talk about the fact that someone could be just not sleeping well. They could be not sleeping at night. They could be having problems interacting with their spouse or with their kids or someone at work, or not doing well in school. You don't necessarily need to have a diagnosed mental health condition or it doesn't have to be a crisis. You can come in when it's something that's kind of irking you or bothering you. That's what we're trying to encourage, is people come in and kind of look at it as prevention instead of kind of crisis management, because I think that's really critical, is to get ahead of the problem. Within the walls of our clinic, so we provide talk therapy, which is on an outpatient basis. We don't have beds, or we're not doing heavy substance use treatment for people that might need to be medically dangerous for them to stop drinking or stop use of other substances. We're going to really try to find a higher level of care and work with one of our partners to get them hooked up for services. But therapy is the primary service, and then anyone that's involved in therapy in the clinic also has access to case management services, which can help. We'll tirelessly work to make sure that people have what they need. If it's they're behind on their rent and they need to get caught up, or the child is getting ready to start school and they don't have school supplies or clothes or things like that. Or there's no food in the house. We have a lot of really good partners that we work with to make sure that people have what they need so that they can work effectively and benefit from therapy. If someone's worried about, if you think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, if you have someone that their basic needs are not met, they're not really going to engage in therapy in a meaningful way where they're going to see lasting results. So we really are taking a holistic approach and making sure that the whole person is kind of has what they need.
Sure.
Med management is kind of the last piece I want to touch on. For people that may need medication, sometimes people do need medication. We're definitely not pushing medication on everybody that comes in. That's not our philosophy at all. But if someone needs that help, maybe a short-term medication or maybe even something long-term, we can help that person We have a world-renowned psychiatrist on our team that has done a lot of extensive work in mood disorders. His name is Dr. Thace. And he also does some work at the VA as well. He's also on a pen. And so he can help help, especially one of the things that we do a lot is we have somebody that might have had a lot of treatment in the past, and they'll come in with a list of medications that they've gotten from different doctors. And a lot of times he can do an assessment and say, hey, maybe your struggle is part of this can almost identify a medication as maybe an issue that might be impacting their functioning that might actually be making things worse, because maybe they got one medication from one physician, something from somebody else. So that's another service that we provide that's of no cost to the veteran, which is no cost psychiatry is almost impossible to find.
Absolutely.
So that's really cool to have that. The only thing that I do want to put out there as a disclaimer is, we cannot fill medications for free. People are still going to have some sort of coverage for medication. We do have relationships with a lot of different – there's a lot of different organizations in the state that will subsidize medications for people that can't afford them. And we've often – sometimes we've even called drug manufacturers, and a lot of them are willing to make sure that veterans have their medication. So,
Okay. So
those are kind of in a nutshell, that's kind of the three components of the services that we provide.
Okay. That's actually brilliant. And to go back a little bit, you don't just treat a veteran.
That's correct.
Unlike, let's say the VA or somebody like that, you treat people either related to the veteran, even sometimes not even related to the veteran, correct?
That's correct. So we know that a lot of families are different. A lot of people are in a lot of different situations. There could be someone who may have a catastrophic injury from their service, and they might have a caregiver that maybe provides them with assistance ambulating around their house or grocery shopping or things like that. We realize that that person is intimately involved with that veteran, and as a byproduct of that could also have some things that they're vicariously struggling with as well. So if you're living in a house with someone that is suffering from post-traumatic stress, anxiety, depression, those kind of conditions, sometimes that can affect you as well. So we recognize that it's really important to take a systems approach in making sure that whomever is surrounding that veteran, whoever's supporting that veteran, also has our support. So a spouse could come in that's not necessarily the veteran. The veteran would not have to come in. It's always good if they do, but if it's a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend, they can also access services. And then we also can see children in the family. So it could be a child that's maybe mom or dad is deployed, or to kind of use my example before, where somebody might have a catastrophic injury and you have a young child in the house that might not understand why mommy or daddy might have outbursts or might not be able to do certain things that maybe the child can't understand, and we can really help and help in supporting a family with those, with a lot of different dynamics, to make sure that they have the support they need and the education and resources.
And you're able to treat or help treat all the way down to age 4. Is that what you
said?
That's
correct. So, yeah, I mean, if you think about a 4-year-old, I have young kids. I'm not sure if you have kids, but
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you think about a child down at that age, you're really doing much more work with the parents, but, the fact that we can bring that child into the room with the parents and kind of talk and see how they interact with the child, if there's maybe a disciplinary issue, or maybe a parent is reacting in a way that's not helpful for the child, that maybe we can point that out. Sometimes those are tough conversations to have, but that's why we do what we do, is we want to be able to identify things that are contributing to a problem or an issue in a veteran's or a household that where a veteran resides, to just have some eyes on and say, hey, this is what we're seeing, identify some of those things, and then work with the individual and the family to make things better.
Sure. That's excellent. And another key point was that it doesn't have to be just under honorable circumstances that they got discharged, right?
That's correct. So the way we like to put it, the way I talk about it when I'm out usually is that if someone served a day in the military, they're eligible for our services. It doesn't matter if you had a bad conduct, dishonorable, other than honorable, honorable. We see everyone as the same, that you you signed on the dotted line to serve your country. We feel that you have, you deserve the support of our nation when you come back. And that's why this was formed, was to, because Mr. Cohen and a lot of the people that kind of started this network saw that there were gaps in services for a lot of people. And that's one of the things I also mentioned earlier was Guard and Reserves. If you served in the Guard and Reserves, a lot of times you might be eligible for VA healthcare. If you deployed, you get that 5 years. But when that 5 years is up, what are you going to do? I mean, if you, most, a lot of us will have insurance through our employers as we age and go into our careers. But we want to make sure that there's access for those people. The PA National Guard is actually one of our largest referral sources because there are so many different gaps. And also, readiness was another thing that you were talking about earlier. We're heavily heavily leaning on our National Guard, especially in Pennsylvania, to deploy when the National Guard was designed to be stateside and to work on things here in the state. So so a lot of our systems that have been long held were not really developed to to address that population. So that's one of the things that we're taking into consideration and making sure that that anyone in the Guard or Reserves, no matter what, it's the same deal. If you served one day in the Guard or Reserves, you're eligible for our services.
And that's great. That's a it's a awesome point that you made about the if you got a less than honorable, sometimes people make mistakes.
Absolutely.
And I know for a fact that they feel like they're being punished for the rest of their lives based on one mistake that they made.
One specific individual comes into mind that he was a Marine, had an argument with no physical contact, just had an argument with a superior officer, and that person just decided that he was going to make sure that the individual got a dishonorable discharge. And it was very unfortunate because when the individual came to our clinic, it was to the point where he wasn't comfortable applying for jobs. Like this was kind of the bane of his existence. This was just eating him alive, is that he had this, he was a Marine and he had this dishonorable discharge because he just didn't see eye to eye with this officer. And it was affecting his ability to get health care, to be eligible for any state veteran benefits, to be able to apply for service connection. And he has definitely TBI. It's like has some things that, he was eligible for VA services, but that discharge was just was really hampering having any success in his life. And we worked really hard as part of our case management team. We worked really hard to get a discharge upgrade. We're still in the process of that. So those are the kind of things that we'll do too. Is if someone comes in and we say, "Hey, man, this is really the crux of what's going on in your life. Can we help you address this?" And there was some hesitation, and I think there was some hesitation for him in even disclosing, because it's hard to, let alone a civilian, but another veteran to talk to another veteran about to say to another veteran that you have a dishonorable discharge. That's a hard conversation to have. So it took a lot for this gentleman to come in and talk about that. So.
Now, just out of curiosity, the services that you provide, do you also help them maybe get compensation for that? It's some type of veteran compensation or you
absolutely.
Know,
so yeah, that's another big piece of what we do as part of our case management team is if someone comes in, they're not eligible for VA healthcare or the VA, or maybe they haven't registered. We can help people with that, which then kind of triggers the process. To be able to apply through the regional office for some sort of service connection or other benefits. But also if someone they're already VA eligible, they've maybe for whatever reason they didn't know what the process was for service connection, or they feel like we often see a lot of people that they don't think that they should take it for themselves. They should leave it for someone else who has a more serious injury. And a lot of times we'll have conversations. That's why that money's there. If you have a legit service-connected issue, we're going to work tirelessly to make sure. We work with the Military Assistance Project locally, Homeless Advocacy Project for people that that might not have the means to support struggling financially, that would be a difficult lift for them. We work with all the veteran service organizations that process those kind of claims to get people. So that's another thing that we really pride ourselves on is community partnerships. We really lean on a lot of people in the community to support things that we can't do that aren't in our wheelhouse. So if you come to us and you're looking for a service connection, while you're in treatment, we're going to do everything we can possibly do to get you hooked up with the right person, whether it's either in your county. We have relationships with all the county directors. So if you live in Berks County, for instance, and it would be too much for you to kind of travel back and forth to work on a claim in Philly, I can work with Dale Durr out, who's the county director out there in Berks, to make sure that he can help support you to make it a little bit easier. So
that's awesome. That's really, really great. And one of the questions that was brought up downstairs is how can either I as a veteran or somebody who's not a veteran, how can we refer somebody to the Cohen Veteran Network? Or if they're maybe not necessarily willing to go themselves, how do we individually get help to be able to help them?
Yeah, so the last part is a difficult question. I think it was something that I struggle with sometimes too, is just keeping eyes on someone. If someone's struggling and someone is, you know about our clinic or you know about another resource and you've recommended it to the individual, and they're not interested in it or they're hesitant or they say, oh, I don't need that type of thing. I mean, the best thing that I would advise people of is to at least know what's available out there. So when that person is ready, you're ready too. I think that's a big piece of it. And just not giving up on people, because I think when people are struggling, it's most times going to come to a head at some point, and it's going to be really important that there's someone around that individual that has good information or is supportive and is willing to kind of put their neck out and say, hey, man, or to say to a man or woman that might be struggling that's a veteran, I know of this resource, just being able to have a little bit of knowledge about what's out there, I think, is really critical. Sure. In terms of reaching out to us, so there's a couple ways that individuals can reach us. So our primary, the telephone number to the intake, so we have an intake person on the phone who does some information gathering on the front end that's really important to us in terms of matching up with a clinician on our team that would best serve that individual, but it also gives us a good picture of kind of what's going in, so we're not wasting your time when you come in the door asking questions over and over again. And it's really important for us to say, okay, it looks like this individual that's coming in on Monday might be struggling with post-traumatic stress. This is the clinician on our team that would be best suited for that individual. So that helps a bit there. But the main number to call, I think, is 844-573-3146. One of the other things that I like to tell people too is if you want to call and say, hey, I know Joe Smucatelli, and I know that he's really struggling and might need some help. I talked to him. He was kind of hesitant, but he agreed to that I could call, give you his information so you guys could call him. I think that's really important in our field, is to be able to be creative in ways like that, because a lot of times you might convince somebody to call and you think they're going to call and then they never call because by the time they get home, sure, thinking's changed. Maybe they went grocery shopping on the way home. Their mentality changed, and then they've just forgotten about it. So a lot of times, if someone's really struggling, it's helpful to have our information. And you can, by all means, call me at the clinic. My number is 215-898-3620. And we'll, as long as I know that they're expecting to hear from us, I'm totally willing to say, hey, we received a call from your friend, and mm-hmm. they said that you were really struggling, and we just wanted to let you know that we're here. This is what we do. This is the contact number, and if you need anything, let us know. A lot of times mm-hmm. that turns into an intake right on the phone where they end up coming into services. So okay. A lot of times that usually works. We're on Facebook and Twitter as well. And calling doesn't mean you have to come to the clinic as well. That you can call and just ask for information. And if you don't like what you hear, or you decide, hey, this really isn't for me, that's fine. But But we just want to make sure that the information's out there, that it's easily accessible as possible, and people like you and people that are listening, I think it's really important to know, hey, just have this information in your back pocket, know about us, know what we do, and you'd be surprised if you run into somebody, just having that information makes that conversation so much easier, because if you don't know, it's really hard if you run into someone who maybe is not feeling like they want to live, or they're on the brink of divorce and breaking up a family, to be able to have something to suggest to somebody is very powerful.
Sure. And folks listening, you don't necessarily know Pete, maybe yet. but Pete understands. He's also a veteran. Veteran from the 90s, you had a back injury, correct?
Correct.
I mean, if you want to tell a little bit about your story, feel free.
Yeah, so I was in the mid-90s. I was 75 Fox. I was a personal information systems management specialist. My intention was to be in the military for a career. I wanted to do this as a career and retire. So it was, I have my own struggle that I kind of had to go through in my service, because it was hampered by an injury. So, I mean, I've gone through the process of VA. The VA is supporting me well. I mean, they've taken care of me. I don't have bad things to say about the VA. There's some things that are challenges for them, but there are some things that are challenges for us as well. So, I struggled for a lot of years in terms of trying to figure out like how I could get back into that, because I wasn't going back into the military, but I also wanted to find a way to make sure that I was still in that community in some way. I actually kind of stumbled on when I went to graduate school at the University of Pennsylvania, they had Department of Health and Human Services had a grant that they had provided to the school. I went to school for social work, and there was this particular program that was specifically designed to train mental health clinicians on how to work with people in the military. And man, I jumped at that, and there was some money involved too. So I was like, man, this is great. It's going to be perfect. And, so I was, I did that at Penn. And I actually utilized a vocational rehabilitation program through the VA, which basically provides funding for veterans that want to return to school, to better their education and get into, to kind of deal with, I was in a field working with people with intellectual developmental disabilities, and that involved a lot of physical lifting and things like that. And it wasn't matching up long term with what my body was going to be able to handle because of this injury. So that the voc rehab program was very helpful in that, and getting me into kind of, diverting my career a little bit to still do what I was doing when helping other people. But it got me back into the veteran community. It got me back into a place where I wasn't having to put an undue strain on my body, so I wasn't performing well in my work and those kind of things. And I went to right out of school, went to VA and was a part of the HUDVASH team, which is a partnership between Housing and Urban Development and VA Supportive Housing. I was part of the team that actually announced that they ended veteran homelessness in the city. So I was on the team that was a part of that. So I was really proud of that. That was great. And then when this opportunity came up with Penn and to support Mr. Cohen's vision and in making sure that people outside the VA, people that didn't want to go to the VA, people that weren't eligible, spouses, kids, just to fill all those gaps. It was a startup, so it was very, very lucrative to me to be a part of this. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, kind of the trajectory of my service, what happened to me, how the VA was helpful in getting me kind of back into that track, and why this, I mean, that story is why I do what I do. This is very personal for me, and it's very important to me that I make sure that I get this information in as many hands as possible, because this is really an amazing resource.
Sure. Sure. Well, Pete, we appreciate what you do. We appreciate what the Cohen Foundation does. Again, our main goal here is just to help veterans. And I think as a veteran, both you and me, Pete, I think that is our main goal, our main focus, even just with this podcast. So I appreciate you joining us for this. I think it's going to be an extremely valuable resource for people to come to. You have Pete's information. He gave it to you just a little bit earlier. If you need to contact us for any reason, it's just podcast@greencastleconsulting.com. Please feel free to do that or go to our website, greencastleconsulting.com. But again, Pete, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This has been great.
Absolutely.
So that was my conversation with Pete Freudenberger. I hope you enjoyed it as well as I did, and I hope you find some value in it. Again, it's not a lot of information that we get all the time. We know there's help out there. We know there's people that are willing to do these things, but it's really sometimes just hard to find them. It's hard to find the people that are willing to go out on a limb and help a service member with some of these really difficult tasks that may not even just be, it may not be rocket science getting it done, but it's patience. It's making sure that the process happens and we don't get burnt out from just trying and pushing and pushing and pushing and never get any results. So thank you so much for that conversation and for listening to that conversation. I hope you join us again next time. We have some great stuff talking about energy and utilities and energy storage type batteries. It's stuff that I can kind of geek out about. So if you join us next time, you'll hear all about it. Thanks for listening this time. I hope you join us again next time. If you need anything at all, our email address here is podcast@greencastleconsulting.com. You heard it during my interview, but I'll say it again. It's podcast@greencastleconsulting.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. Looking forward to our next conversation. Thanks, folks.